for a few hundred dollars for the first bit of advice, or maybe $1,000 or $2,000. It might sound like a lot of money, but
well,
in
they
long
did the
run,
load calculation on the house, especially. Yeah, I mean, that's what's exactly important. I mean, to figure out, you know, I had a house last year I sold, and sure enough, missing beams.
Oh, right.
You know, the home inspector, you know, on the home inspection, he looked at it and went, that's a pretty big gap. And I looked up and went, oh, you know, he's right. I hadn't noticed. It's a pretty big gap.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he called. He said, you should call a contractor. So we called a contractor, and it was Dave Sikorsky, who actually now owns a cab company. Dave came over, and Dave's a great guy. I mean, I really like Dave. I mean, he's just a great guy. I mean, he's gregarious, and he's just a go-getter. And he showed up. Oh, my God, there's a beam miss. and so his advice was, let's get an engineer in here. And so we got Greg
Slakoff
came in, mm-hmm, and did a load calculation right from the peak all the way down to the foundations, and mathematically worked it out with what we have. And then he came up with, okay, here's the solution.
Right.
Post here, beam here, pad bracket here, this size bracket, mm-hmm, this nail pattern, and Dave had his plan, drew it all out, material list, and boom, it was done within just days.
And so, dollar-wise, you want to tell your listeners roughly?
I think it was around $10,000. See, the house was actually one level, and then what happened at, you know, all the permits. So you go down to the CRD office, all the permits looked fine. Dude, here's the permits for the house. It was all done. It's all got the final. But somewhere over the last, like, 20 years, someone got a bottle jack out and jacked that house up. And all of a sudden, they put a basement underneath it. And they didn't tell anyone. So, you know, the house grew by, like, 600 square feet. It was probably, I figure, like a four-foot crawl. So they jacked it up. But the problem was, when they did that, it's the way they connected the beams down and everything. They just, they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, and again, talk to an engineer, talk to somebody who knows something, you know, and it's a few bucks up front.
But my God, the people that bought it, you know, they've got two little kids. If we'd had like a 6.0 earthquake or whatever, and that house squished them, I mean, I would feel bad for the rest of my life.
If anybody died, you'd feel bad.
I mean, not knowing that the $10,000 wasn't spent. I mean, it's really, it was one of those must do. This has to be done because you're talking about lives here. You know, it's like the deck. 30 people out on that deck.
You know, once we started taking those posts out, and they literally just fell out. I mean, they were huge, you know, over a foot diameter, these posts. You know, we're in there with chainsaws, and we built a whole other structure.
Oh, so you lapped the concrete on there and everything.
Yeah, we had to.
So then you had to build a whole superstructure underneath.
But we built a huge superstructure underneath and as a temporary structure for safety reasons.
Right.
And we only took out a section at a time. It was four or five 16-foot sections. It was a long deck, and did it one bit at a time. We had steel posts and with bottle jacks, and we had you know, all kinds of other jacks and supports and so forth. But we also, you have to consider something else. It's not just lifting; it's the shear factor. You know, anybody can you know, lift a house and or you know, you can take out a bearing wall. Take out a wall inside your house. But if you discovered that it's not only a bearing wall, but a shear wall.
That's another issue.
That's a whole other issue. We haven't really touched on that.
Okay.
Subject, but
shear walls.
Okay.
I love shear walls. When we come back, we're going to talk shear walls.
Okay.
Okay. We got a commercial break because we're going to run out of time. It's already 22. But we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and then we're on to shear walls.
Where are you off to, Dad?
Spring is sprung, and I'm bouncing on down to Sports Traders on my old pogo stick to get some outdoor equipment.
Ooh, to get a new bike?
No way!
A skateboard?
Not even close!
Rollerblades?
Nope.
Well, you can get all those items at Sports Traders.
Yeah, I know. I'm bouncing barefoot, so I need running shoes.
Yeah, they have all that and more at Sports Traders.
Oops.
Spring will be sprung, so enjoy all your outdoor activities by going to Sports Traders.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
Hello, Islanders. My name is Anya, and I'm the manager of the Salt Spring Island Return It Center. Returning your ready-to-drink beverage containers has never been so easy. We are open Tuesday through Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, next to Country Grocer. Did you know that we recycle milk, plastic, and milk carton containers? Return your milk containers to Salt Spring Island Return It Center. This is the only proper way for them to be recycled. Any questions? Come visit our friendly staff at the Salt Spring Island Return It Center. And thank you for recycling.
Vertical.
Okay, we're back. Radio Real Estate Show with Scott Simmons and guest today, Alex Denny. And we're on to shear walls now.
Yeah, we're talking about construction and all kinds of different things that you run into.
So. I was just telling Alex about, you know, I have a lot of clients that start their search on Salt Spring, and this search ended up going all the way up to Arlington on Vancouver Island. And we went up there to look at a home, the client and I. And we get up there, and it's a beautiful, we're talking $2 million home, 25 acres, 5,000 square feet. And I walk in the front door, and the house is like 3 years old, right? And I walk in the living room, and I look at it, and it's a wall of glass. Like, we're talking 50 feet wide, windows every, like, you know, every 8 inches. And the windows are maybe 15 feet high by about 4 feet wide. And I'm like, that's not up to code. I thought, there's no shear walls.
No interior walls either?
No, and I thought, okay, well, if there's no shear walls, that means the house has been engineered, and they've got steel all tying it together.
Hidden in the ceiling or something.
Yeah, I mean, mega steel. Like, this is an expensive build. You want to do that, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to hire someone like Bill Simpson or Greg Slakoff, a structural engineer who will tell you, yes, I can do that for you. Here's the plan. Funny thing is, that house was not finished in the basement, the wall. So I went downstairs, same windows mirrored in the basement.
Oh, okay.
And you could see all the framing.
Right, right.
There's no steel in it. Nothing's tied together. And it's like, okay. And then I check a little bit more. Oh, well, in this area, there's no building inspection. There's no permits required. And I'm like, oh, well, that's wonderful. Tell me that you got the house engineered when you built it. No, we didn't get it engineered. Oh, so you've got no building inspection, no engineering, and a wall of glass.
And a multi-million-dollar home.
Guess who lives down the road? Guess who lives down the road from there? Dick Stubbs.
One of the previous building inspectors from Salt Spring
Dick
Island.
Dick Stubbs.
Oh.
And you know what Dick does now? He's a consultant.
Oh, okay.
On houses that are built without building codes. He's the expert on building codes in BC. He was the home inspector, the CRD building inspector here for how long?
20, 15? Long time, yeah. 15 plus years.
So probably. I phoned Dick. As soon as I got home, I phoned him up. Hey, Dick, it's Scott calling from Salt Spring. And, I mean, Dick's a great guy. I mean, I never crossed Dick. I was always good with him. I always showed him, even when I screwed up on something, Dick, I screwed up. And so, you know, I've had a good relationship with him.
That helps.
A lot of people never like Dick. Anyways, I said, okay, there's a house up in Arlington. He goes, oh, I know the house. He goes, they didn't get a permit. They don't have a building inspector. And he told me, yeah, So he, instantly, it was big red flag with him. Mm-hmm. He knew of the house. Mm-hmm. And
so now what can happen to somebody is they can end up with something like that. And what you can actually do is have it reverse engineered.
Right.
So
now, what is a shear wall? Explain this.
Yeah, we kind of jumped off that. Basically, in BC, earthquakes, right?
Earthquakes.
Everybody knows about earthquakes now.
Japan.
Okay, we're in seismic zone A, they tell me, which is the highest.
Right.
And you know that the difference between a 3 and a 3.1, it's 10 times.
Yeah.
Every decimal point is 10 times greater than the previous.
I mean, the last four we had here, I'm sitting in my office. I felt it.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway,
your neighbor's deck fell off.
And my neighbor's deck fell off. It was at 2.9.
2.9.
So, if it had been a 3, maybe the whole lot. Oh, I won't go there. But anyways, shear, of course, is lateral resistance.
Right.
Okay. So, building inspectors, contractors, builders, homeowners, In even a 2.9, or I was in that little 4.3 that we had, 2001, 2002 right. or so. Right. Knocked a bunch of brick off right. some facades in Seattle. Basically what happens is you have to prevent your home from rocking from rocking. Side to side.
And that's what shear does.
That's what shear walls are.
And shear walls, like when I built that house up on Duke's Road, we had to put in shear walls. Because here's the catch-22 of it. Let's say you're in Calgary, and you bought a lot on Salt Spring. You're going to build a house. So you go, and you go on Google, and you architect. You find an architect. You really like his plans, and you say, I want to build a house. Here's how big I want to build it. Views out this way. He'll send you beautiful drawings. And, you know, if you get these drawings, and so he'll charge you $10,000, and you've got them. The drawings aren't engineered.
Right.
Now, what?
An architect is not an engineer.
Now, you take those drawings down to the building department, and Uli and Daryl are new guys down there who are great guys. I mean, I really like those guys. You go down there and say, I want to build this house, and I'm going to get Alex to build it. And they're going to go, these are beautiful drawings. I see you spent a lot of money. That guy's not cheap. Are they engineered?
Right. And so what that means is the actual plan itself has to go over the entire plan from top to bottom, you know, and double check everything. And especially if you're building on a slope or if you're doesn't matter where you are, if you're down near the beach or higher up on a mountain or even on a flat lot. Don't be afraid to, you know, get it all double checked. Even building on a flat lot, you still have to have shear walls because the structure still has to stand. Doesn't matter if it's windstorm, slight shifting in the earth, slight little tremor.
Sorry about the phone call, but I do have an offer coming in.
Okay, so
that's a phone call you want to get as a realtor.
Yes, yes, these are important things.
I want to buy that house. Well, can I just put you on hold for 10 minutes?
It's really important. I'm talking to Alex.
Well, I've got hundreds of listeners out there in radio.
So anyway, so when you're doing a renovation, so
right.
You got a house, you bought a house, you know, it's all designed and so forth and everything's theoretically great. When you're doing a renovation, though, you want to change the location of a room. You want to have your living room in the back, and you want to bring your kitchen up front. But I need to take out this wall that's in the center. Now, a shear wall doesn't have to be on the end of the house. It can be integrated in within the interior walls.
Yes. Now, and generally, a shear wall, the ones I've seen, and there's different
versions of it.
Every engineer will come up with his own design, but
sure.
I mean, the ones I've seen, it'll be like 2x6s on 6-inch centers, so every 6-inch is another 2x6, and then like a 3/4-inch piece of plywood on the outside with, and they'll even prescribe the way you nail on the plywood, mm-hmm. like hand-nailed, 3-inch nails,
right.
you know, every 3
every,
inches.
Every 3 inches or 2 inches, and we've done them before where it was an interior wall, but it was double plywood.
Double plywood on both sides. Right.
And in fact, I even questioned it one time about construction adhesive and glue. I said, well, you know, and I was building a shear wall and I talked to the engineer. I said, should I be gluing this? And he said, no, you know, don't actually. You know, it's the nails that are the key.
The shear strength of the nails.
Yeah.
The actual shear strength. Because you can bend something, but to shear it. And
right.
so that's hence the term shear strength.
And for homeowner builders, be careful. Don't think screws do the same job.
Right.
We were on a project or...
They want them hand-nailed.
Hand-nailed specific nails. You know, it's not just any old nail that you've got in your pouch or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, if it's a gun nail, it might not... pass code either, because often gun nails are just a 3/4 head.
Right.
You know,
they don't want gun nails. They want them hand-nailed.
And plus, you can't sink the nail beyond that. And the reason you hand-nail it is because if you sink the head an eighth inch into your plywood, guess what?
You lose a lot of the strength.
Well, if you say you use half inch and you've set your nail in an eighth, all of a sudden your plywood is considered 3/8 thick by the engineer.
Right, right.
So that doesn't work. So as you said, hand-nailed nailing schedule, you know.
You know, I've got an analogy. Now, we chatted about this in the 30 seconds when we're off air, but Alex said, nah, that's kind of stupid. But I still want to use it just to explain shear.
Sure.
Let's take everybody out there knows what a paper coffee cup is, right?
Sure.
So you take a paper coffee cup, you know, one from Salt Spring Coffee or whatever, Roco or whatever. Now, turn it upside down, empty. Now, drink the coffee first.
Sure.
Now,
push. You've got to get your money's worth, right?
Yeah. Now, push down on that coffee cup. It's very strong. Like, they're cone shape. And, I mean, you could probably put 60 pounds on a coffee cup, and it'll hold the strength, that cone, because it's so strong.
Right.
Now, take a pair of scissors and clip up one side, clip out like a one-inch slit in it, and then just try to push on. Instantly, it just collapses.
Why is that?
Well, because of the shear strength, the shear, it's holding it all together, and you've got it's all interlocked, and that's where the shear walls in a house basically do the same thing. As the weight of the house is holding, if it starts to shift back and forth, the shears hold, they pin it, mm-hmm, so it can't mm-hmm. just rotate in the earthquake, and when it rotates, it'll just kind of end up rotating right down to the ground and squishing, just like that coffee cup.
Right.
Where if you've got these shear walls in there, they're going to prevent it from going back and forth.
Interesting.
Because it's supposed to be, I believe, and Uli and Daryl could correct me on this, or yourself, for every 8 feet of window space, you're supposed to have 4 feet of shear wall.
That's correct, yeah. And what is a shear wall in that sense is really is just
a solid panel of wall
with half-inch plywood, nail or...
three-quarters.
Or depending on what they call for. Half-inch is usually code. Now, that's like the minimum code.
Right.
Building code is one thing. Taking it to the next level
isn't
that much more. And I've talked to a couple of engineers about it, you know, and building a new home, you know, the roof, you know, especially on two-story, say, on Channel Ridge, you know, you have these double posts, double 2x4s nailed together with a giant L-shaped bracket inside the wall.
Right.
And there's a solid piece of ready rod that goes right through the floor system to the next bracket that meets the next double 2x4 on the lower floor, and it's anchored with a huge 1-inch diameter or 3/4-inch diameter rod to the foundation. And that prevents the home from jumping off the foundation and or falling over. So
see, that's like that house up in Earlton. The posts in the basement were little tiny, like 2-inch nails, you know, nailed up into the into the beams. That's it. There was no plates down into the slab. Like, it should have been screwed into that slab. There should have been T brackets on their whole. Like, you've got the houses nowadays, everything is pinned together. They're like rocks.
But don't be fooled by all that steel. I mean, unfortunately, it costs a lot to put all this extra material in, but that's what the code is, especially if you've got it engineered. But the engineer will actually tell you, oh, well, this isn't designed to hold up the house during an earthquake of a 8 or a 9, say.
Right.
All it does is gives you a few more seconds to get out.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's going to prevent the structure killing you.
Right.
I mean, you know, the house is still going to be wrecked. I mean, we get a 9, half the houses will just...
What they tell me is, and everybody's seen it now, what happens in an earthquake, right? It's not just the vertical shift, it's the horizontal shift too.
Right.
And they say in a 9 or an 8, it's 4 feet of vertical and 4 feet of horizontal at the same time.
Yeah.
So what's that? A compound motion?
Yeah.
You know, so
well, and that's why you want everything tied together, just to give you that safety margin so that
people wonder why I built a concrete house. You know, when I was first putting up the blocks, people were saying, "Hey, you can't build a styrofoam house."
Right.
It's like, no. It's not. It may look like a styrofoam house, but it's in actuality, it's a steel reinforced concrete home,
right?
Anchored to massive footings,
yeah.
Right. Now it's kind of ironic though, is because you know you go to all this effort to put all these concrete walls in, and it's all insulated and everything, and then you put this lightweight structure over top, which is your roof.
Right.
So to add shear again to a roof structure, what we did is we strap the whole thing with 2x4s on 16-inch centers, and then sheathe the whole thing with plywood and nail that off.
See, plywood is a shear product in its own self.
Right, and so is OSB if it doesn't get wet.
Right. I was a big fan of OSB, but plywood's so cheap now. Why wouldn't you buy plywood? The price of plywood is just so incredibly low right now. Mm-hmm, I mean, gosh, I can remember when, you know, a sheet of three-inch plywood just shot up to $50, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think we talked about it when I ordered a whole lift to sheathe my house with, and in 3/8, and it averaged $10 a sheet when I bought the whole lift.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to buy OSB when plywood is so cheap?
That's actually cheaper than half-inch drywall. Half-inch drywall is, I don't know, probably about $15 a sheet right now, maybe 16, maybe more.
Well, plywood gives you that shear, just the plywood, and that's what siding, you know, that's why you put the plywood on, then the siding, because the plywood is holding, you know, it's giving you all that shear, but the shear wall is, you can't basically have a wall of glass. It's just a telltale that the house wasn't built right.
Unless it was a custom design place unless that was super engineered, because I do know a woman that lives in a glass house, you know, and I mentioned it maybe once or so before, but it was interesting because the entire perimeter of her place is mostly glass. How does this work? But her house is all engineered, and the shear is built in down the center of the house inside. There's actually a poured concrete wall inside the home that's had that's exposed. It's actually, they've sandblasted it, and it's all about the look, right? But in actuality, and it's anchored to rock, and you know, huge brackets and you know, bridge structure type material used in that home. And it's all designed to prevent the home from swaying in any kind of an earthquake. Doesn't matter if it's a 2.9 like we just had, or, you know, whatever, a 5.9 or a 9.9. You know, God forbid we don't get the 9.9, but I guess they say that, you know, anything's possible. We're all those plates converging out there.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's just scary when you see, and that's why we have building permits, building codes, engineers, you know, and even if you build a home in an area where you don't need building permits, you should do yourself a service and hire an engineer and have it all engineered.
Yeah. Grand scheme of things, you know, a home's many, many thousands of dollars anyways.
Yeah.
So include it in the package, include it in the budget, because in the long run, you know, you want to try and sell or you know, for your own.
You're just creating more value for yourself.
Yeah.
Got to stop for a quick commercial break, and that's it, Alex. We
burned off another hour.
It's amazing how quickly the show. I mean, we're going to book it in with the radio station, a 16-hour nonstop show. We're going to start with a pot of coffee here and home construction for 16 hours straight. This way, we'll stop for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're on the sweet spot on your FM dial. It's 107.9 here on the Rocky God Radio.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty, Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
And it's Scott Simmons here with his guest, Alex Danny, and wrapping up the Radio Real Estate Show for, I don't even know what the date is today. What is it, April 5th, 2011?
I know exactly what date it is because it happens to be my sister's birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your sister, Alex.
Happy birthday, Cleo, if you're out there.
There you go. And Alex, if anyone wants to contact you, what's your email address?
It's portside.denny@gmail.com. That's the thing. Or on Twitter, it's portsidewood. Alex Denny, Portside Wood. Or you can go to my blog, Portside Woodworks, at WordPress.com.
Or you can just send me an email, saltspring@yahoo.com, and I'll forward it on to my good friend Alex.
We have many, many ways of being contacted these days.
So thank you for listening to the Radio Real Estate Show today. We'll be back next Tuesday. I don't know if Alex will be back or not. I'll have to twist his rubber arm to get him to come back. Alex hates talking. You know, it's
terrible, you know.
It's Heidi won't let him to get out of the house. That's because he's supposed to be working.
Oh, we always have deadlines for something.
There you go. Well, we'll see what happens next week. But we'll be back next week with Radio Real Estate Show here on CFSI.